Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, do we have any sports fans in the audience? Oh, don't raise your hand. I know we do. We got football fans, we got basketball fans, and, you know, wholesalers, every once in a while, we have an opportunity to tap into an expert that has a fascinating background, and that is the case today. I suspect you know this gentleman, two-time Defensive Player of the Year. He appeared in All-Star games in the 80s. He is, well, easy to point out in a crowd because he played center at 7'4", had a 12-year career with the NBA Utah Jazz. What you may not know is he switched from being a 21-year-old mechanic to becoming one of the greats of NBA history. Mark Eaton is here. Mark, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be with you today.
I'm so happy you could be here. Now, you have a fascinating message that you deliver because it really calls upon your background in a team sport that ties fantastically into the business world today. So if you could, let's just start with the 10,000-foot overview of what your subject matter is, and then we'll dive into some of those bullet points. But for the benefit of the audience, they're kind of thinking, well, Mark Eaton, damn, he was a great player, but what's he doing today? So why don't you give us kind of the thumbnail sketch, the overview, please?
Sure. I do about 80 corporate programs a year across the country focused on the four commitments of a winning team, and I teach organizations how to get rid of that internal competition and what teamwork is like from the inside out. And I do it through telling my highly unusual story of how I went from a 7'4" auto mechanic at age 21 to an NBA All-Star.
I got to tell you, so I don't know if you ever listen, Mark, to Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers on NPR.
Oh,
radio.
Yeah.
Okay, so just, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, I'm out for a long walk, and they're talking about how they always had a skinny kid in their shop to be able to get to those bolts and places that anybody else couldn't get to, right? And so I'm picturing you, and we've met in person, I'm picturing you, and, well, you may have been thin, but I'm picturing you how you got around that car as a mechanic. I got visuals working there. It's kind of funny.
Well, I can't say I was designed for that job, but I did have advantages, like you mentioned there, where there was the tough-to-get-to bolt or something where I could worm or snake my arm up in certain areas to get certain things that other guys couldn't get. I guess that was a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, wingspan second to none. Let's talk about one of the key core components, what you speak about. You speak about focus on what you do best. Let's talk a bit about that, please.
Yeah, one of the points I make in my presentation is about knowing your job. I relay a story that Wilt Chamberlain, a point that Wilt Chamberlain made to me one day in the men's gym at UCLA in the afternoon, where I was running up and down the court trying to chase this little guard on our team who was incredibly quick. And he pulled me aside. He said, "Why are you trying to chase that little guy all over the court?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to get out here and play in the game." And he said, "Look, come here." And he took me and placed me in front of the basket, and he said, "Look," he said, "your job on the basketball floor is to guard this basket. You know, stop running around trying to chase the little guards up and down the floor, but stay underneath the basket, stop players from getting there, get the rebound, throw it up to the guard, let them go down the other end and score it. You know, and your job is to kind of cruise up to half court and see what's going on." And it was a real light bulb experience for me at that moment in time when I finally understood what I was going to be good at on the basketball floor and the one thing that I could do that would separate me from everyone else. And the point I make from the story is that your job is on the basketball floor and in business is to really know your job. What's that one thing you're going to be excellent at, that you're going to excel at and be able to do over and over and over again that's going to separate you from the rest of the crowd? And that little five-minute conversation ended up defining my career as a basketball player because I became a defensive specialist, and I set an NBA record for the most blocked shots in a single season, which is 456, which is still the record today. And so I asked the question in my presentation, you know, how many of you are running around trying to do everything when there's really only one thing you can be great at? And if you're not doing that one thing, you're probably not succeeding. Because we get so focused on exceeding expectations that a lot of time we forget the basics. So What's that one thing you're excellent at? And if you don't know what that is, ask a couple of three people. What's that one thing that I'm really great at? Because there's probably one reason that people do business with you, and it's not always your great product or your great service. It's some enduring quality about you that you could leverage more if you focus on it a little bit more.
You know, wholesalers, there's a couple of things that come to mind that Mark's talking about here, right? So one thing that comes to mind for me is, as Mark said, kind of polling others to get a sense of what they feel that you are best at and capitalizing on those strengths. The other piece is, from a practice management standpoint, wholesalers, your focus should be on being an extraordinary wholesaler. Maybe you need a meeting planner. Maybe you need a scheduler. Maybe you need an administrative assistant. We know you need an internal wholesaler. Trying to be too many things in terms of mastering your business is counterproductive. That's an amazing insight, of course, from none other than someone like Wilt Chamberlain. So you obviously did a formidable job of taking his advice to heart, Mark.
I did, because it was so instantly clear to me what I needed to do, that I just continued to focus on that. And, I ended up not playing a whole lot of my college career at UCLA. I sat on the bench most of the time, but I never forgot that message. And when I did get an opportunity to try out for the NBA, I made the most of it.
Let's talk about execution. You have a point here about execution. Do what you've been asked to do. I want you to know, Mark, just the very nature of that phrase will bristle the neck hairs of some wholesalers. Do what you've been asked to do. I am a free spirit, Mark. I travel the landscape talking to advisors. Don't rein me in. What do you mean here?
Well, what I'm really talking about is that our job in business is really not to do what we think is best, or to do your best. Your job really is to execute the play. And I couch this in a story of being at UCLA and not playing very much and wondering why I wasn't playing and thinking it was the coach or the team or I picked the wrong school or something. And my junior college coach pulled me aside one day. I was talking to him on the phone. He said, look, it's not the team, it's not the coach, it's you. You need to get better. He said, if you're going to play in the NBA, you've got to continue to work out. You've got to be the first guy to practice and the last to leave. You've got to do your running and do your shooting and hit the weight room. Because if you continue to work out, I promise you'll have an opportunity to travel an NBA team. Well, I didn't really see that at the moment. I just thought I needed to be doing all these things, and where I was thinking it was the business world, the market's down, things aren't working well. I don't know why people aren't calling me back. Well, execute the play. Do the things that your boss is asking you to do, or your company's asking you to do, or more importantly, your customers are asking you to do. And so I listened to my coach, and I did what he asked me to do, and I went to the court every morning at 9 o'clock, and I did my running, I did my shooting, and I hit the weight room, and it really took a couple of years before I got that opportunity to try out for that NBA team. But when I did, I was ready, and the coach saw just enough of me where he said, okay, maybe we'll give you a shot because we can tell you've been working. So the point about execution is that I never would have had the opportunity to try out for the NBA if I didn't do what my coach asked me to do, by showing up at the court every morning and every evening and doing the extra things that no one else was willing to do. Most guys worked out for a couple hours a day. Well, I was out on the court 6 hours a day trying to get better. And I think sometimes in business we forget that executing the play is really a success secret that a lot of people don't think about at times. We get so busy doing all these different things. It's like, well, where would I rate myself on a scale of 10 of how well do I execute the play? How aware am I of other people's priorities? How focused are I asking what it is I should be doing differently? And so that's the point about doing what you've been asked to do, a key component of being part of a winning team.
It strikes me too, Mark, that part of this is the willingness, the openness to be accessible for feedback. So you're, and wholesalers, I want you to know this is some of the research that's coming through in the Millionaire Wholesaler study that we're doing. And it speaks to the fact that no matter where you are in your career, there is improvement that can be made, and to be open to the critique that brings you that improvement. That's a cornerstone as well, right?
A step beyond that, to ask for the critique. A lot of people are afraid to ask. They're afraid to go ask their boss, what else should I be doing? Because they're afraid it might look like, well, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. So my point is that, you know, go in there and say, okay, I'm doing this, I'm executing that, and this is where I'm going. Is there anything else I could be doing? Is there something else I should be more focused on? And a lot of us won't ask because we're afraid we're going to get more work or afraid we're going to be asked to do things we don't know how to do. But ultimately, that's where the gold is doing, you know, fulfilling the unrealistic request is really what separates the champions from the rest. And so your willingness to be coachable and go in there and say, and listen to that feedback, even if you only take in 10% of what's said, it can have a dramatic impact on your career.
Yes. Let's talk about making other people look good. Wholesalers, another thread that's coming out of this research we're doing is the, and here's a direct quote we got, Mark. One of our millionaire wholesalers said, be a servant, not a celebrity. And it feels to me like your bullet point of make other people look good, that might rest somewhere under there. Am I right?
It does. And, you know, in basketball, when I first came to the Utah Jazz, it was a very bad team in a poor market. And NBA players are notorious for only wanting to know how many minutes am I going to play, how many shots am I going to get, and who's going to give me the ball, right? And our coach, Frank Layden, said, look, if you guys will stop competing with each other and start cooperating with each other, start trusting each other, the individual honors will show up. Because he said, no one cares if you're scoring a lot of points on a losing team. Everyone wants the players from a winning team. And so we listened and really went from a group of obscure players to players that many of you have heard of today. Because we started passing the ball when someone else had a better chance of scoring. You know, we started making each other look good, and we started to look good as a team. And in time, the individual honors came rolling in. So, you know, what I did well is I never hesitated to pass the ball when someone else had a better chance of scoring. So the point of making other people look good relates to, you know, if you ask yourself that question, how focused am I on making the people I work with look good? Whether it's your the other wholesalers in your office, whether it's the FAs that you're going out or the office managers that you're meeting with, how focused are you on making them look good? Because you want to be that person when they need something, they need a special product or service, they've got a special situation, who's the first person they're going to call? Well, it's the ones who's making them look good. So that, you know, that. So I go back to that question. If you were going to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how focused are you on making the people you work with look good? Mm-hmm. If a team wins, you win.
Let's talk about protecting each other. You mentioned the question we should be asking about whose back do we have. What do we mean by that?
Well, what I did well on the basketball court is I protected my teammates. My teammates knew that they could take a risk. They knew they could go out and try and steal the ball, and if they didn't make it or something happened, they knew that I would be there to get between their man and the basket, that I would do everything I could to protect them. And ultimately, that's why I played in the NBA for 12 years, because I protected my teammates. They knew they could count on me. So my point here is that the people that you work with, do they really know that you're there for them? Because if you want greater trust and greater loyalty from your teammates, and most importantly, from the FAs and the offices that you're visiting, how loyal do you think they are to you, based on your willingness to let them know that you're there for them? So in my seminars, I ask people to write down during this exercise the names of three people they need to let know this week that they have their back. So who are the three people you need to let know this week that you've got their back, whether it's at home, in the office, because that's really where trust comes from, is when people know that you're there for them, that they know they can count on you. And this goes beyond just selling products or services. And in fact, I tell even people who are in management positions that, you know, do your employees really know that they can come in and talk to you at any point in time? Do you have that open door policy? Or are they a little worried about being continually judged and critiqued? So from a standpoint of in sales, of going out and visiting those offices, do those people really feel like you're there for them? Have you really gone the extra mile to build that relationship to beyond just selling them products and services? And you know, because the more people feel like that you've got their bet, the more likely they are they're gonna call you and continue to engage in conversations. And when the next opportunity comes up to bring you in to make a presentation, who are they gonna call? I mean, all these offices get pounded by all kinds of different wholesalers. So what's gonna make you stand out? Well, it's that ability to feel like you're truly trusted and that there's a loyalty factor which has been built over time by your ability to help them understand that you're really there for them.
Wholesalers, Mark asked you to make a list of three. I got four that are just in your business life. You should let your internal know that you have their back because you're assisting them while they're assisting you. You should let that posse of colleagues that you are communicating with on a weekly basis, commiserating with on a weekly basis, let them know that you have their back. The financial advisors, like Mark said, you got to let them know or demonstrate to them through action that you have their back. And one that we talk about at Wholesaler Masterminds a lot, wholesalers, centers of influence. When was the last time that you demonstrated to office managers, complex managers, regional directors, regional managers, call them what you will, that you have their back? There's four right there, and that's before you get to anybody that exists outside of your wholesaling world. Mark, I got a bone.
And it really, and it,
oh, please, go ahead.
I was going to say, and it really comes from the standpoint of just asking the question, how can I help you?
Mm.
What else can I do for you? How can I make you look good to your customers?
Mm-hmm. I got a bonus question for you, one that we didn't pre-discuss, but I'm sure it'll be easy for you to address. 12 years is not an insignificant amount of time to play in the NBA, given the demands of schedule and travel and the amount of competitive folk or the number of competitive folks that want to come and take your job on a annual basis in training camp, et cetera. How did you last? How did you last 12 years? What were the keys, just quickly, what were the keys to success that allowed you to stay in such a grueling profession for 12 years?
Well, the answer is that I continued to focus on what I did well. I continued to try and improve my game every year. As soon as the season was over, I took 2 weeks off, and then I was back in the gym again. And I was back in the weight room. I was back on my mountain bike or whatever it was to continue to train to be better next year than I was last year. I think that was one aspect of it. The second aspect was that I was very coachable. I was always checking in with the coaches. How am I doing? What else could I be working on? What else should I be focused on? And I think then going back to what we already said, my teammates knew they could count on me, and the coaches knew they could count on me. And that's why they kept me around. Yeah, being 7'4" helps, that's for sure. But there's a lot of tall guys that don't make it to the NBA. And I think the reason I lasted is because of the things that we talked about. I understood what my job was. I did it well. I executed. I made my teammates look great, and they knew that they could count on me. I protected their backs. And that, in a nutshell, is why I played in the NBA for 12 years. There was other players who were more talented, but they didn't have that commitment to team. And the NBA world, that's what made us different.
Well, as someone who was an avid NBA fan during those years, it was a pleasure to watch you, and it was a delight to meet you at the most recent NSA conference, and most especially, what an honor to have you here at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate the opportunity.
Wholesalers, come back again next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.